Dear All Things Considered, writes Ed Cray of Los Angeles, your broadcast offered James Toole, chairman of a working group on presidential disability, asserting that a feeble Franklin D. Roosevelt, near the end of World War II, could not stand up to Joseph Stalin's demands. This is simple nonsense, as any fair reading of the Yalta Conference would demonstrate. For the record, the Soviet Union had already occupied Poland, Romania, Bulgaria, Hungary, the so-called Baltic republics, by the beginning of 1945. Furthermore, it was Churchill who cut the deal in October 1944 with Stalin, not Roosevelt, that gave the USSR dominance in Poland. The nation may need guidance on presidential disability, but let us hope it is founded on something more than Mr. Toole's specious arguments. David Work writes from Carrboro, North Carolina. This, he says, is to correct a comment by Tom Constantine of the Drug Enforcement Administration. Mr. Work says, I've been teaching drug law to pharmacy students at the University of North Carolina for over 25 years. Constantine stated that doctors needed a federal license to prescribe penicillin and other similar drugs. That is false, as prescribing rights are determined by state law and professional licensing boards. This is one good example of what happens when criminal law enforcement officials believe their turf extends to healthcare. And from Sam Seidel of Washington, D.C., I thought Elaine Corey did a particularly poor job in her story on the E. coli contamination of Odwalla fruit juice. Her emphasis on all the trust the company had engendered by its actions in dealing with this crisis seems to me too uncritical for the usual standards of NPR. Trust is not a place to hang your hat when walking into a room where profit hides in the shadows. Liability, on the other hand, is. I hate to say that I agreed wholeheartedly with the lawyer from Seattle who was filing a class action lawsuit against the company, but I did. Finally, Barbara Smith, who signs herself music teacher, Putnam County, West Virginia, writes in thanks for a story about the plight of art teachers in Hartford, Connecticut. Ms. Smith says, as an itinerant music teacher, I certainly can relate to their situations, although just having two schools seems like a breeze compared to the situation Janet Lewis and Shelley Tylek are working under. Please hang in there, Shelley and Janet. In this day and age of obsession with technology and the gladiator mentality in sports, we need teachers who are trying to nurture the souls of our students. Thanks to all for writing to this address, Letters All Things Considered, National Public Radio, 635 Massachusetts Avenue Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20001. The email listing is atc@npr.org. Don't forget, please, to tell us where you live and how to pronounce your name. Thank you.